Hello, this is Marty Hoskins. I'm the pastor of the Dallas Primitive Baptist Church in Dallas, Georgia. You would think after 35 years in the ministry and almost 30 years pastoring churches that I would have led churches through almost every possible crisis and scenario that one could imagine. But I have to admit, this is the first time I've ever had to lead a church through a global pandemic with global repercussions. And what I've discovered through this period of time in the last few days is that one of the things that I've found to be common is there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear out there in people's hearts and minds. So today, on this episode of Handfuls of Purpose, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about how to find peace, how to find calm in the midst of a crisis. Before we go on, if you want to be notified of future episodes and make sure that you don't miss any of these broadcasts as we make them, swing down below and click the subscribe button and the bell so you'll be notified when we upload new content.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
When the new coronavirus statistics came out here in Georgia today, I realized that there were now 91 new cases reported in the last 24-hour reporting window. You know, yesterday we had 50 reported in the 24-hour window before that. I also noticed that we now have 7 new fatalities, new deaths that were reported in that same last 24-hour window. And before that, there was only 3. In the 24 hours previous. You know, having somewhat of a science and a statistics background, obviously the disease is continuing to escalate in our area. It's not slowing down. The spread's continuing to grow. So I kind of do understand why people might be a little anxious and why there might be some fear. I mean, this is all new to us. We've really never experienced anything like this in our lifetime. I know there's been other, epidemics, other instances of widespread infection with flu and things of that nature, but it seems that that if nothing else, our reaction to this has been really, really different. And I know people want to blame the media, they want to blame others, and the reality is at this point that it really doesn't matter whose fault the anxiety and the fear is. It exists. And now we really just kind of have to deal with it, you know? So the question in my mind as I approached this particular video was, you know, how can I personally, and how can I help others to maybe find some peace? How do we find comfort? How do we find peace in the midst of this anxiety and fear that's running rampant in our society? You know, I'm sure it'll come as a shock to you given that I'm a pastor, but honestly and seriously, without any reservations, I have to tell you the place that I find peace most of all is in God's Word. I can't think of a more appropriate scripture right now than the one I would like to share with you, and it's found in Matthew chapter 6, and it's encapsulated in verses 25 through 34. So I'd like to read that for you, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it means for us and how we as Christians might respond to what's going on around us and what we can do to find a little bit of comfort and peace in the midst of what's going on. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See, true comfort and peace will only come when we can rest in the promises of God. The promises of God that tells us he cannot lie. So what is God telling us in this particular text? Well, this phrase, take no thought, literally means to not worry. We can try to define it in a lot of different ways, but the reality is it's bringing it down to simple terms. It means to not worry. And what is he telling us not to worry about? He's telling us, first of all, that worry in itself is futile. It's worthless. It doesn't accomplish anything. So he tells us right off the bat that we can't make ourselves taller by worrying about something. We can't put food on our table by worrying. Worrying won't make food appear on our table. We can't produce drink to solve our thirst simply through worry. And I would add to that that we can't make this virus go away simply by worrying about it. We can't stop its spread. We can't prevent our own infection simply through the process of worrying. Just having an anxious heart and a mind occupied with the fear of what's going on is certainly not going to do away with the virus itself or even protect us from being infected personally. So maybe we should ask the question, what can we do? I'll start by saying we could take the necessary and common sense steps that we've probably heard repeated over and over again to try to protect ourselves. We can stay out of crowds. I'm a little dismayed that some people aren't taking this as seriously as they should. That they're still going out into crowded areas. You know, we can take some of the common sense steps. Stay out of crowds. Remain at home as much as possible. I know that's difficult. I'm not a person who likes to sit around the house a lot either, so I get why that can be difficult. Washing our hands, common sense a suggestion, trying to know that when we've touched something that we don't have control of, if we've touched something out in public, something many other people may have touched, making sure we wash our hands and certainly washing our hands before we've touched our face or done anything like that. And also if we have any symptoms that we associate with this particular virus, a cough, fever, congestion, things of that nature, getting in touch with health professionals, but obviously self-quarantining ourselves and staying away from other people. So essentially, we just need to follow some basic common sense guidelines that we would use for almost any infectious disease. If it was flu or flu season and we had flu symptoms, we wouldn't go out and expose other people to them. We would try to keep other people away from that. Really, outside of some of the basic common sense guidelines we can take in that respect that's being handed down to us by the CDC and the World Health Organization and some of those. As Christians, as people that are followers of Jesus Christ, in order to get past some of our angst and fear and anxiety, the one thing we can do is we can turn to the promises of God. And I encourage you to turn to God's Word and within it find His promises. Let's consider for a moment the text that we just read. The main reason that God gives us to not worry is a very simple one. It's not a complicated message at all. I mean, obviously he tells us that worrying is not it's not valuable, that it can't really accomplish anything. But he gives us an even better reason not to worry. And that main reason he gives us not to worry is that if we take that energy that we were funneling into worrying about what's going on, and take that energy that we're funneling into hanging on every news report, grasping on every piece of information, if we take that energy and we use it to seek God's kingdom first and to seek His righteousness, He makes us a promise. And that promise is so powerful. If you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He says, then all these things, what things? The things that He was talking about in that particular text. Food for our table, drink when we need it, clothing for our back, the basic things that we need. He says, He'll provide those things. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, God never promised to give us everything we want, but He did promise to give us everything we need. And what He's trying to tell us in this particular text really is that God is a God of providence. In other words, He's a God that will provide. He will provide what we need. Let's rest in the fact that God has promised to supply us our needs. So tonight, when it's quiet, maybe the darkness is falling, and you're hearing the sound of your own breathing, just remember this. God promised to provide for you. He promised to provide your needs. I'd like to give you the words of a hymn that means a lot to me. I haven't had them sing it much at church lately. Maybe we should call for it more, especially during this time. But it's a hymn that came to my mind today. And I'd like to read to you some of those words. I've got it here on my computer screen. And I'll share with these words with you. It says that God hath not promised skies always blue. We have an old saying in our society today that God hasn't promised us a rose garden, right? And that's kind of the sentiment of this hymn. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. There are some things that God has promised to us. But one of the things God hasn't promised is that everything's going to always go perfectly smooth. So this situation we're having right now with the coronavirus shouldn't be a big shock to Christians. We know we live in a fallen world. We know that sin has corrupted this world. And we realize that God's not the author of these things. God didn't cause this to happen. That honestly, this is happening because we live in a sin-cursed world. But we also know that God is still there and that He's a God of providence. And if you'll just seek Him, seek His kingdom, seek His righteousness, how do you do that? Get in His Word, study His Word, and in there, in the lids of this book, you'll find peace. Matter of fact, the Scripture tells us we'll find a peace that passeth all understanding. Thank you for joining me for this broadcast of Handfuls of Purpose. As always, like I said at the beginning, click subscribe down below if you'd like to receive more of these messages. My intent is to produce more content over the next coming weeks, given that we're all kind of housed inside. And if you want to come and visit us, at the moment, we're still having services at Dallas, but we really encourage those that are in at-risk groups to not come. We will be live streaming all of our services. If you want to get our live stream, go to www.facebook.com/DallasPBC. And on our Facebook page, the Dallas Facebook page, you'll find our live streams every Sunday morning at 10:30, somewhere between there and 10:45. Even if we have to stop meeting at the church because of this, if this gets bad enough, I'll be producing live streams on Sunday mornings in the way of worship. So join us. And obviously, when this is all over and we're all looking back on it, we would love for you to come and visit us at the Dallas Church. We're located at 225 Legion Road in Dallas, Georgia. That's Georgia, not Texas. That confusion happens from time to time. Thank you for joining us, and God bless.